I remember we had homecoming at Pleasant Hill, and a pastor, you know, he's a country boy, man. I can relate because that's what I am. I'm just an old hillbilly, but I remember him saying, well, you know, when it comes to homecoming, Baptists will turn out for three things. First is fighting. Second is feasting. And he said, thirdly is they'll come to a funeral. Well, we're not here to fight today. We're not here to bury anyone today. We're here to feast. Amen. Feast on physical food. Now, I'm looking forward to it. I tell you, it smells great. But more importantly, we're here to feast on spiritual food. Amen. That's why we're here. And again, I want to welcome everybody, members and guests alike. And before we get started, all of our charter members of Lone Mountain Missionary Baptist Church, if you can, would you please stand? If you can't, would you raise your hand? Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you for your service to the Lord's church here. Saw a deal on the news this week and kind of laid to my thoughts this morning. They found a man in Colorado on the side of a highway. Man was probably in his 70s. And anyways, he couldn't tell anybody who he was. Didn't know how he got there on the side of the highway. Didn't have any ID on him. And what the authorities said was they figured that some way, somehow, he probably had bumped his head and had amnesia. You know, that would be a tough position to be in, would it? Not know who you are, where you're from, how you got to where you're at. That'd be tough. And as I thought about people that have that, and that is that's a dreadful thing, and there are people that have that. This man has yet to find out who he is and where he's from. They've got placards all over saying, do you know this guy? Do you recognize him? But so far, nobody. This was in Colorado. But as I was thinking about amnesia, I began to think about, well, what about spiritual amnesia? You see, I'm here to tell you this morning, not only does our country have spiritual amnesia, we've forgotten the foundations of our country. We've gotten away from the Word of God. And we're falling farther and farther away from Him. Why? Because of spiritual amnesia. But not only are churches that have spiritual amnesia, but our churches have spiritual amnesia also. Our country has it, but so do our churches. Because we've gotten away from the foundation. From the Word of God. We've gotten away from the Word of God. We've gotten away from preaching the blood. We're afraid we'll offend someone. Well, I hope you're not offended, but listen, you have no gospel without the blood. If you don't preach the blood, you're not preaching the Bible, because this is a bloody book. And we need to get back to the basics. But not only can a church have spiritual amnesia, but a Christian, an individual, can have spiritual amnesia. And I'll go ahead and say it. Our churches today are missing Christians today because they have spiritual amnesia. And as I was thinking about homecoming and a message this week, I couldn't help but think of about a young man that had spiritual amnesia in the Bible. And the two kind of go together as far as homecoming and spiritual amnesia, and it's the prodigal son. Everybody knows that story. But we have a young man that don't know how he bumped his head, but he's got spiritual amnesia. So turn to Luke chapter 15. Now it's 5 minutes to 12. You say, well, Brother John, oh my goodness, are we going to be here for a while? Let me tell you the method to our madness this morning. One, we shouldn't be in a hurry anyways when you come to God's house. What do you think eternity is going to be like? You think we're going to have an hour? You think God's going to look at a clock and say, okay, y'all dismissed. No, I think we're not even going to care. Because we're going to be around the throne of our God. So, don't worry about the clock, but we want wagon wheel to get here. And y'all, for the last several years, they've been faithful to come and fellowship with us. But we've eaten, and when they get here, there's nobody to visit with them and eat with them. So we're going to kind of take our time today. Amen. Now, I promise we're going to eat. But we're not having services tonight. So we're going to be here for a little while today. Amen. So let's just have fun in the Lord today. And let the message in the Word of God speak to your hearts. Because I am sure if we'll be honest this morning with God, there's a lot of us prodigals. Amen? There may be a lot of us with that same awful thing called spiritual amnesia. We have forgotten. But I'm going to tell you this morning on how to go back home. Amen? I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to share three questions, ask you three questions, and I'm going to share with you how to go back home. And by the way, this is home for now. This is where God has me and my family, and I'm proud to be here. I have no problems saying I live in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now I got family and preacher friends back in Arkansas say, what is wrong with you, son? But hey, this is where people need to hear the gospel. And I'm here. Now, Arkansas's home. And I get homesick sometimes. I'll be the first to tell you. But listen to me. Even though Arkansas and Las Vegas, Nevada are my earthly homes, if you will, I've got a home in heaven I'm looking forward to getting. And we are truly going to have a homecoming service there. Amen. So is everybody in Luke 15? All right. Look at verse 12. Luke 15, beginning. Let's start at 11, since we want to start at the front. It says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time and this occasion that we've come to Your house, Lord, assembled in Your sanctuary in Your name. Father, we want to thank You for this day, this special day and occasion where we honor You and we thank You for all the many wonderful blessings throughout the years, Lord, as Lone Mountain has been in this community as a lighthouse. And Lord, we thank You for the souls that have been won to Christ, souls that have united with this church in the past and have served in that capacity. And we thank You for those that have moved on, Lord. But we're thankful for those that are here today. And Lord, we just thank You for the many wonderful blessings. And we want to always be grateful and reminded how faithful You've been to us here at Lone Mountain. Father, as I break the bread of life now, I pray You'll give me the words to say that I might preach with boldness and authority those truths You've laid upon my heart. And Lord, just speak to our hearts. And may we that are under Your Spirit and Your Word this morning examine where we are in our walk with You. There's one here today who doesn't know You and the free pardon of sin. May they be saved before it's too late. There's one, Lord, that's wandered to that far country. And they've left Your house, Lord. I just pray they'll return to You, Lord, before You have to chastise them, Lord. Because You will do whatever it takes to bring them back to where they're supposed to be in their walk with You. So, Lord, as I preach this word this morning, speak to hearts. Let Your Spirit move. I love You, and I praise You, and I thank You for this opportunity. In Christ's name, I pray this morning. Amen. Now, the first question I want to ask you, and I wrote it down, was, when should we go home? We find here, man had two sons. The youngest son asked his father, give me my inheritance. By the way, that's a rebellious spirit right off the bat. You see, a younger son had no place to ask his father. You see, the inheritance went to the eldest son. But in his rebellion, he asked for his inheritance. You know why? It was because he was rebellious. Amen. And the question I ask is, when should we go home? Brother Shearer, we should go home when we feel led to leave the Father's house. Amen. That should be the clue to you and I. When we start having a longing to get away from the Father's house, that's when we need to run to the Father's house. But you see, rebellion is out there, isn't it? You see, we become so caught up in ourselves wanting our way that we sometimes forget that when it comes to the Lord and serving Him, it's always going to be His way. And rebellion is the worst thing a child of God can have in his heart. So here's a young man that rebels and asks for his inheritance. Notice with me. He wanted to leave the father's house behind. You know, the sad thing is, lots of people out there, lots of Christians out there that for a long time gave their heart to Christ, served the Lord Jesus Christ in church capacity, but in the process of time, they became wandering in their spirit and decided they wanted to leave God's house behind. And beloved, I want to save you a lot of heartache this morning. When you start having that yearning to leave God's house, right then and right there is when you should repent. You should make things right right then and there. You know, it reminds me of, remember when Simon Peter was bid to come out and meet Jesus as he was walking on the water? Remember what Peter did? He had no problem. He had the faith to come out of the boat and begin to walk. And he was doing just fine until he took his eyes off of the Lord. And then, of course, the Bible tells us in Matthew that he began to sink. But what did Peter do? He cried out, Lord, save me. And at that very moment, Jesus took him by the hand and put him back in the boat. And he was okay. And beloved, the illustration is to teach us that when we start having that spirit to want to yearn and go into the far country and leave God's house behind, we should right then and right there call out to Jesus, help us. Help us. But not only that, notice what it says. And there wasted his substance in righteous living. Verse 13. We should go home when you begin to live like the world. You see, he went into the far country and he took all the blessings in his inheritance and he wasted it. Everything that God had given him, he wasted. You see, he had forgotten the blessings of God. You know why children of God are backslid? It's because they have forgotten the blessings of God. They have forgotten that He saved them. Forgotten that He's watched over them. Forgotten what they have waiting for them in eternity. But it says in the last part of verse 13, and there He wasted His substance with righteous living. And that word wasted means winnowing grain. It means everything that all the blessings of his father and the inheritance that he gave him, he just tossed it to the air and wasted everything. Let me tell you, when it comes to sin, that's exactly what happens. It takes everything away from you. Amen? Everything away from you. Here, that substance that he had didn't last too long, did it? It was gone. Why? Because he wasted it. Beloved, let me just say something about being backslid. It's insanity. You said, what, preacher? It's insanity to leave the place of God and the blessings of God to go back into the world, because it will always take things away from you. Sin does that. It takes your victory away. It takes your joy away. It takes your substance away. It takes everything away. Now the devil won't tell you that. The devil will say you're having a good time, but he is a liar. Amen. He's a liar. Living out of the will of God and from the Father's house will cost you in the long run. So he wasted everything, all the blessings of God. But look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. When you leave the Father's house behind, you're left with absolutely nothing. Nothing. You see, it takes those things away from you. It takes your witness, your testimony. It takes His blessing away. It takes everything away. Here is a young man with spiritual amnesia that's left home, thinking that the pleasures of the world would suffice. And there are people out there today that have left the Father's house because of the pleasures of the world. Let me tell you something, young people. The devil's going to do everything in his power to get you to look to the world. In fact, the devil's going to lie to you and tell you that the only way you can have any fun in life, the only way you can have any joy in life, the only way you can have any success in life is to look to the world and the things of the world. And let me tell you, young people, the devil is that liar. You'll never have peace and joy until you're in the will of God and you stay in the Father's house. What's the first thing that happens when young people that grow up in a church, graduate high school, they move off either to college? By the way, nothing wrong with an education, I'm not saying, but I would choose a Christian college, not a secular college. Nothing wrong with going to school. There's nothing wrong with being on your own. Amen. Dear Lord, you got to leave the nest one of these days. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But listen, you never leave God's house. No matter where you go, you find God's house. And you stay in His house. And the problem this young man made, this prodigal made, was he was convinced that that far country had better things for him. And because of that rebellious spirit, he got himself in trouble and he found himself in total want. Everything that he had been given, all the blessings had been taken away. It happens all the time. I see it all the time. And what kills me, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, I do. Live like the devil. Believe me, he's going to take everything. He's going to rob you blind. And don't think for a minute that he won't put you as flat on your belly as you can get. There's a little synonym about, you know, when the Lord cursed the serpent, he said, on your belly you'll be all the days of your life. When we leave God out, we leave his home, guess what? Prodigal, you'll end up on your belly also. In want. So, when should we go home? Look at verse 15. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and we sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, for a Jew, it's about as low as you can get, feeding hogs. And this is the sad thing. He was in want. He had nothing. Everything was taken from him. All those blessings were gone. But the sad thing is, as he fed those hogs, he was so hungry that he was willing to eat what the hogs were eating. Now, we had hogs. They're nasty. They will eat anything. Amen. Swill. Absolutely, sister. It's good. But they'll eat anything. And it stinks. If you've ever slopped hogs, it's a chore. It's something I wouldn't want to do for a living. Amen. Something I wouldn't do for a living. But my point is, he was so hungry because of him being in want that he would eat what those hogs ate. And you see, the sad thing was, he was eating that swill and had no one there to care for him. That's what Solomon said in Proverbs, that the way of the transgressor is hard. Let me tell you something. When you leave God out, be ready. Amen. When you go to the far country and you allow sin to root in your heart, be ready. Because let me tell you something. A lot of people have the idea, well, I'm a child of God. God loves me. And He's just going to wink at my sin. He's just going to say, I'll pass. That's a lie. And let me tell you something about sin. Let me tell you what always comes with sin. Now, the devil won't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. You know what comes with sin? Chastisement. Amen? The devil won't tell you about that chastisement. Read the story about a man in Georgia. He got hurt in the church. And he swore, I'll never step a foot in the door of that church ever again. His wife and his little six-year-old boy on Sunday mornings would say, honey, will you go to church? And he'd be verbally abusive and say, don't ever say that to me again. I don't want to hear it. No, I won't go to that church. Little six-year-old boy, but daddy, please, please come to church with me and mama. No! One Sunday, dad's on the porch reading his paper. little six-year-old boy comes out and says, "Daddy, will you go to church?" And very abusively, he says, "I told you never to ask me that again." The little boy was playing with a rubber ball, throwing it up in the air, catching it. Threw it up, didn't catch it, and it bounced and ran across the highway. And as he ran to get it, he got hit by a car. That father ran out and picked up that little body, broken. Before that little boy died, the last words he ever spoke was, "Daddy, are you going to go with me to church?" And at that moment, that little boy in the man's arms, lifeless, no breath, that very moment, that father cried out and asked God to forgive. And God did. God, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, He will forgive. But the thing is, it was too late. And look at what it cost him to get right with God. Look at what it cost him to come home. And I'm not saying this to scare any of you, but what will God have to do to you to get you right to come back home? Because God will use whatever means is necessary. Amen? Now, verse 17. When should we go home? The next question is, how should we go home? Verse 17 says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I am perishing with hunger. Think about it. Eat and swill as he sloughed the hogs. Nobody cared. And he began to think, wait a second. You know, my father's servants have plenty to eat. My father's servants have a roof over their head. My father's servants are happy. And here I am slopping hogs. And there's no one that cares.'" Look at the next verse. He said, "I'll arise and go to my father." You see, how should we go home? We know when we should go home. But this is the way we have to come home. We have to come with resolve. "I will arise and go to my father." You see, he made up his mind that this ain't working. And child of God, when's it going to take place in your mind and in your heart that being astray from God and His house isn't working? When are you going to say to yourself, "Listen, this don't work. I'm miserable." By the way, you'll be miserable until you have resolved to say, "Huh, I'm going to come to my right senses and I'm going to come to my right mind and I'm going to head back home." Because that's where the love of the Father is. That's where the joy of the Father is. It's in the home, in the house. When are you going to come to that? Notice he repented. Look at what it says. "I have sinned against heaven and before thee." And let me tell you, the first step to the house is the most important step you'll ever take. You'll have to have the resolve that you want to go home, but you also have to repent. Amen? That is one thing that God requires. Repent. Remember David when he sinned against with Bathsheba against God, committing adultery? Over in Psalms, he said, "I have acknowledged my transgressions before the Lord. I have sinned against thee, and thee only have I sinned against, O God." And beloved, condition of coming home is there's got to be repentance. Amen? That's the first step. That's how we got to go home. You see, he came and said, I'll arise and go to my father. And I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. See, he changed his mind. And he repented. This prodigal with spiritual amnesia realized it was time to come home. Now, notice something else. 19, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He came humbly and with respect. Can I tell you something? That's the only way you can approach God, is humbly and out of respect. You see, remember when you got saved? Let me ask you a question. When you got saved, were you humbled? Boy, I can only answer for me, but I'm sure you'll agree with me. When Jesus saved you and we were born again, we were humbled because we could feel the imminent presence of God all around us. And I don't know about you, but again, I'll speak for myself. I felt His presence around me and I realized I'm absolutely nothing when it comes to Him. You see, the prodigal son came to the place where he realized he was nothing. And he was willing to humble himself before God and pray and ask the Lord to forgive him. And he was willing to take whatever chastisement or whatever God would mete out to him. It's just he wanted to be right with God. Beloved, that's what we got to come to this morning. We have to repent, but we got to come humbly before Him and realize who He is. Listen, the Father waits to forgive us. The Father loves you, loves us. And let me just say this too, because there are some folks out there that don't believe this, but I'm sorry, the Word of God is pretty plain. When the Father loves you and me, that love isn't conditional, it's unconditional, and it's forever. Amen. It ain't just for a little while. Not till we mess up. It's forever. And I'll show you that in a moment. Well, we know when should we go home. We know how should we go home. What about the last question? What shall we find when we go home? Well, first thing you're going to find, look at verse 20 and 21. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck. And what? Kissed him. Amen? Kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. So what did he find? First of all, he found love. Amen? Love. You see, he found a father that longed for his son to return. And that looked every day down that road to see if that son was coming home or not. And the Bible says that he ran. And by the way, back then, older folks never ran. Amen? Old folks didn't do that. It was beneath them to run. But this father ran. And the Bible says that he kissed him. And that word, kissed him on the neck, is in the present tense, which means he continually kissed him over and over and over again. And beloved, when we humble ourselves and we repent, guess what? We find the love of the Father. And we find Him running to us, Brother Ciro. Didn't have to run, but He did. And by the way, I'll throw this in, just FYI, y'all look it up later on, but over in Deuteronomy, you know why it was important that He run to His son and get His son? Because in those days when there was a rebellious son, parents were instructed to tell the elders of the city, and they were out hunting those rebellious sons. You know why? Because they would be stoned to death. I think that's another reason He kind of ran, to grab him and get him in the house. You see, He found love. Not only did He find love, and the Father moved with compassion, and the Father who ran to meet Him, He also found luxury. Notice what it says. But the Father said to His servants, bring forth the best robe. You see, I've been around hogs. You don't have to be around them very long and you stink. Amen? The stench. He was dirty. He stunk. But the Father said, bring out the best robe we got. And He put that robe on that son that had left home. What does it symbolize? It symbolizes God the Father's perfect and complete restoration. You see, He forgave him and He covered him with His robe of righteousness. Some of you here this morning and you might say, oh, I've done so many bad things, I don't think the Lord would ever. He will restore you if you'll just come to Him and ask Him. He not only told the servants to bring robe, but He also said, put a ring on His finger. You see, that ring symbolized His eternal love for the Son. But not only that, it also symbolized the Father's authority, declaring, I have restored my son. You see, when God restores you back to fellowship after you make things right, you're restored. And when He restores, you have His authority to not wonder if you've been forgiven, not wonder if God can still love you. You have His authority to know that you have been restored and you are who you once were and you'll always be. Put a ring on His finger. Put shoes on His feet. You see, back then, the custom was only slaves were barefooted. See, if you were a true heir, you were a true son, you had shoes on His feet. Those shoes signified He was back in His rightful place as the Son. You see, completely restored to full fellowship. You see, that's a loving Father. Now, one other thing. It says, after He put shoes on His feet, and bring hither the fatted calf. See, the fatted calf, that was only special occasions that they did this. Believe me, this was a special occasion. And you understand, here's a young man, a prodigal, that had left, went into the far country, lived like the world. And when I say lived like the world, he became the world. Talked like it, walked like it, spoke like it, dressed like it. He did it all. And lost everything. And Here, remember? What's he doing? He's feeding hogs and eating hog slop. But now, the father tells the servants, kill the fatted calf. You see, boy, you're never going to have to worry about going hungry and eating hog slop again. Because at my table, at the Father's table, there is plenty on the menu. There's plenty to eat. When we are in the will of God and we are serving God as we should, listen to me, we are at His table, and His table always blesses us. They killed the fatted calf. Now listen to me. If you'll jump down to verse 28, we're not going to go there, but the father and the servants were happy. The prodigal had come home. He had gained his memory back. He remembered all those blessings of God. He'd come home. And they were celebrating, but there was an older brother that didn't feel the same way. Now that's another message, but listen to me. When it comes to the father, it didn't matter what everybody else thought. This is my son. And notice what it says. Let us eat and be merry. The Bible doesn't say how long the son was gone. But I can tell you, all that time he was gone, there was no laughter in the house. Only grief. But now, the son's come home. They've killed the fatted calf. And now, there's laughter. There's celebration. Why? Look at what the father said. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. They began to have a party. Amen. Good old Arkansas hold down. They began to have a great time. And the Bible says this, and be mindful. There is joy in heaven. Joy in heaven. Over one soul that repents. If you're here this morning, you strayed to the far country. You've had spiritual amnesia. I pray it's been loosened. The Lord has set you free to see, hey, I need to go back home. The Lord waits with open arms ready for you to come back to Him. Doesn't matter where you stand in life, whether you're saved or you're backslid, He stands with arms open, wide, ready to receive you if you'll just come. My dad was a country music fanatic. Mom can attest to this. We had them old 45 records and LPs, but we usually had the 45s, and we didn't even know what stereo was when I was growing up. So we had an old cheap record player. And my dad loved this old guy. Used to drive me crazy. I've told you about Porter Wagner and the Everly Brothers. He loved this guy called Bobby Bear. Bobby Bear had a few hits, but his biggest hit was a song called Detroit City. And as it starts out in the chorus, it starts out like this. I want to go home. I want to go home. Oh, how I want to go home. And my dad would play that goofy thing. I used to could sing that song, that whole thing, by memory. Because he played it so often. But the reason I told you that is to remind you this. Don't you want to come home? You're out there drifting in your wayward. You know your walk's not what it once was. You know you act more like the world than you do one of the Lord's own. Isn't it time to come home? You've been asked three questions. When should you come home? What should you do to go home? And what will you find when you go home? You're going to find the Father right where you left Him. Now, you might be here. You've never experienced the Lord's salvation. You're lost. You're in the wayward country, the far land, if you will. Far country. I want to assure you, you don't know what you're missing. And there's room for you at the Father's table. Listen to me. He loves new children to come to His table. And all you got to do is take that first step. There might be 1,000 steps between you and God, but if you'll take that first one, I guarantee you God's willing to take that next 999. But you have to take that first step. So what's it going to be? I want to go home. That's all you got to say to the Lord. I want to come. Go home, Lord. I want to come home. He's there.